Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Presiding over the northwestern curve of Vienna's Ringstrasse Boulevard, the Ringturm carried a powerful message of reconstruction and renewal after the Second World War. Although it's getting increasingly crowded out by other high-rises, it's still a prominent landmark, with its facade serving as a giant canvas for artworks and a lighthouse on the rooftop that helps forecast the weather by using various colours. Well, Monocle's Alexei Korolev has taken a tour, and here he is.
Nein, das ist nicht in Amerika. Das ist Österreichs höchster Profanbau.
This is an Austria Wochenschau newsreel showing the unveiling of the Ringturm, or Ring Tower, in June 1955. No, the narrator says, this is not America. This is Austria. With Vienna's post-war reconstruction in full swing, the 20-story office building commissioned by the Wiener Städtische Insurance Group symbolized new life and hope for a city that was ravaged by Nazis and allies alike.
We are now in the Ringturm, close to the Ringstrasse in Vienna. And it's a building by Erich Polkenstern, a quite famous architect of the interwar and post-war period, and also a professor at the Technical University of Vienna.
Monika Platzer is a curator and researcher at Vienna's Architecture Museum.
It's really a landmark of post-war architecture in Austria. You must not forget that Austria was still occupied by four allies, and we were here in the international zone, so it was also possible to kind of erect this high-rise, and it was of course a demonstration that Austria wanted to belong to the western part of Europe, and the Russians were on the other side. There was an also interesting, quite tall building on the other side by the Russians. It was a fair trade center. It had a huge red star on top of it. So maybe they were communicating in an interesting way.
Mm. Yeah, because this was, of course, the neutral zone, the first district.
Right, the first district was international, yeah. And that's why I think it was possible also to build it here. And in 55, of course, then Austria became independent. So it was quite a celebration also really to show off that Vienna now is part and in back in the international community and transforming into a world city, into a metropolis again, like it used to be. I think today probably it would not be possible to build any building like this again on the Ringstrasse, so it was quite exceptional at that time. I mean, the director of the Wiener Städtische, which was an insurance company, had to leave Austria. I mean, he was thrown out when the Nazis came, Norbert Liebermann, and he went to the US. And he, of course, was very familiar with skyscrapers, and he kind of really imported that typology back to Vienna, and he also wanted to bring back modernization and kind of an international spirit to his home city.
Yeah, but it's not really a New York style skyscraper. I mean, it's not that tall.
It's not that tall, but for Austrian standards, it is quite tall. And the architect who built that was part of moderate modernity. So for Austria, actually, compared to many other buildings, it was quite modern. It has 20 floors, and it has a long pole on top of it, a lightning pole. So for the Viennese, they could would look at it, and you would see it from really very far away, and you could figure out what weather would be tomorrow or the next day.
But that was 60 years ago, and now Vienna is very different, with the Ringturm far from being the only high-rise in the city. Is it still as modern and relevant today as it was in 1955?
I would say yes, in a way, because it's moderate. Maybe it's not as loud as the other buildings, and maybe it's not as stylish as the other buildings, because it has been here for over 50 years now, and it still holds up. And I'm not so sure if the other buildings will hold up. I mean, that has to be proven when we look at them in 50 years' time. Mm.
Well, it's interesting now that for the last 10 years, is it that the facade of the Ringturm has been used every summer as a sort of a exhibition space as well.
I think it's just a perfect branding for the insurance company, who is really fond in modern art, to give artists a chance to use it as a huge canvas throughout the city. So I think that's maybe being loud and finding its way in competition with all the other towers. But what I think is quite different to the modern towers here is when you look around, you can walk in, there's actually public space. And when the architect erected it, there was a grocery store, there was other stores and things like that. And I think that is quite different to the high-rise buildings around it, which don't have a public space, which are completely used for economic things or enterprises. So I think, yes, in that way, that building is much more modern, maybe, than the others, because we just walked in.
Well, this is interesting. So you think that it still delivers the message from the 1950s, you know, the message of the reconstruction of Vienna, the reconstruction of Austria, and openness to ideas, openness to people.
Yeah, and it's not just, reconstruction, but it's also looking ahead in some way, modernity, but also kind of the welfare state. In that sense, you know, giving everybody access to something, to an insurance that also laid behind it. I mean, when that insurance company was founded and so on.
You said that, and I agree with you, obviously, that this is a landmark in Vienna. But, you know, you don't often find it, actually, in travel guides, for instance. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, an active...
It's a secret.
Exactly,
still a secret.
Why is that?
Well, because I think everybody who comes to Vienna is not expected to find a post-war building in a guidebook. They want to see the Imperial Vienna. But Vienna is not really recognized for post-war interesting building. I think that's something which needs to change in a way, because there are a lot of, I think, interesting buildings also from the post-war era.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production, and our thanks to Alexei Korolyov for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.